I'm Andrew Walsh, a.k.a. Bat Phantom, from the Operation Pug Podcast, proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor and drummer of the Starling Tribune. My name is Stargate Pioneer. My friends call me SP. And your other reporters for this special episode 159 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry. Henchman?
Blue Nissan Stanza!
And Michelle!
I hear that 2016 is not my best year, but I plan on fixing that.
Mm-hmm. Dead. D-E-A-D. Dead. This podcast is recorded on Sunday, June 25th, 2017. Live on Geeks.live. Remember, folks, our newspaper is full of spoilers, facts, and speculations about Arrow and, quite frankly, the rest of the DC TV comic movie universe.
That's right, and tonight we'll be discussing Legends Tomorrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the past week that could impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Vixen, Constantine, Black Lightning, Lois and Clark, Superman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, and any other show that's out there.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GunnaGeek.com, where you can find all of our past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Gunna Geek Productions banner.
It's that time of the show where we get on to the main content. So, Michelle, why don't you go ahead and break down this week's episode?
Sure thing. Today, we're going to be talking about The Legion of Doom, which is Season 2, Episode 10 of Legends of Tomorrow. It originally aired Tuesday, January 31st, 2017. Director Eric Lanuville also directed one Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is the only episode of Legends he's directed, Seven Grimm, One Warehouse 13, and Five Lost. Writers Phil Klemmer, he's done eight Legends, three Tomorrow People, 12 Chuck.
Woohoo!
I think you've heard of it. And 12 Veronica Mars. And Mark Guggenheim, the executive producer of Arrow and Legends, so I guess he's a big deal. He's also written eight Legends.
He's also authored a lot of comics on both sides of the aisle of DC and Marvel. So this episode of Legends of Tomorrow, The Evil League of Evil, was aired way back at the end of January, early February, and it also was a full week of DC TV content on the CW. Monday, the 30th of January, Supergirl aired their episode, We Can Be Heroes, to a live rating of 2.35 and a live plus DVR of 3.75. On Tuesday, The Flash, yes, The Flash, aired to a live rating of 3.06 and a live plus DVR rating of 4.71. That was their episode Dead or Alive. On Wednesday, the 1st of February, Arrow, with their episode Second Chances, aired to a live audience of 1.91 million and a live plus DVR of 2.99, which means they barely beat out our Legends of Tomorrow episode, The Legion of Doom, that we're talking about, which aired on the 31st of January to a live rating of 1.78 and a live plus DVR of 2.96. So Arrow just beat out Legends of Tomorrow by 0.03.
Just that much.
Wow. I think what helped Arrow was that Talia al Ghul was in that episode.
Talia.
Talia.
I'll be in my bunk.
But I was going to go to my bunk.
I guess, Michelle, you're doing the cast all on your own. And it's your fault for bringing up Talia anyway.
Wait, I can't go to my bunk because Talia al Ghul was mentioned?
We'll be taking a little bit of a break, folks, as we come back. But let's just go ahead and move on. And we'll talk about the overall theme for this episode. The Evil League of Evil, right? No, that's right. The Legion of Doom. So, Michelle, what do we got for that?
Well, this episode, we get to learn a little bit more about how they operate. I loved how the show opened with Damien Dark doing the voiceover of like, hey, I was murdered and I was wronged. So, of course, I'm teaming up with Malcolm Merlyn and Eobald Thawne to correct all those things that have happened to me. It was great.
He is the good guy. He got screwed over in this entire situation. The fact that Oliver Queen killed him, he never deserved that. Come on, guys.
Well, it's all in the name to protect his daughter. He needs to bring his daughter back.
That he doesn't even have. So you have to remember, the Damien Dark we see doesn't have a wife or a kid yet.
We might have the wife. We might have a wife. Let me rephrase.
When was he taken?
70s or 80s.
Oh,
in the 1980 episode, the Miami Vice episode.
Well, that's when he first shows up, but that's not necessarily when he was taken.
That is when he was taken.
Yeah, that's right, because it shows up at the dock, yeah.
Right, and then he goes, okay, like, why do you keep coming? You know, yeah, this was yesterday for you, but to me, it was like 30 years.
Well, it's a frequency thing. He's protecting his future daughter.
That he doesn't know is coming.
Yeah, we'll give him that one.
You would assume that Eobard Thawne would have said, oh, in 2016, you get killed and your poor daughter. Damien, it's your kids. We need to save your kids. It's a Doc Brown sort of thing.
I think it's a case here that the Damien, rather, from the 80s is a bit more evil than the Damien Mouette in 2017, who became a little unhinged, 2016, who became a little unhinged when his wife and daughter became all involved and things like that. This Damien we're meeting now really doesn't care about anything but power. The Damien we had in Arrow, as twisted as that was, thought he was making a better world for his family.
Indeed, Genesis. It was all about the Genesis.
The Genesis. Where's Spock?
In the meantime, we had some fights in this episode. We had some mainly fights between the Legion of Doom themselves, but let's go to the shootout at the bank, because they go to the bank a couple of times and there is some fighting going on in the bank, isn't there, Chris?
Yeah, they go a little crazy with their laser guns and it's kind of fun to see. It's a whole fun little bank heist job and I greatly enjoy it. And then I also enjoy right after that when they're fighting and go, let's settle this like the League. And so they have a sword fight, because that's how civilized gentlemen who were Ra's al Ghuls or had the potential to be, settle their differences by trying to kill each other with swords.
So Phil, he's going back and forth between the retinal scanner / passcode and leaving, staying, leaving. I don't blame him, because if I was stuck between those two, I'd do what the latest one said, because I wouldn't want to disobey either of them.
No, I wouldn't either.
But then we do get the disagreement League style, and then Phil solves that too. So, you know, Captain Hunter, even without his memories, is pretty adept, isn't he?
Yes, he was a little whiny, and he's like, please, please, please don't tear out my eyeball and all that type of stuff. But he does kind of get it together enough to go, well, you know, this is what that speedster guy wants, your henchman, and he doesn't care if you guys fight and die and all that type of stuff.
It was henchmen a thing before Venture Brothers? I mean, was it really in popular culture the way it is today?
I don't think so, but it works. Because Damien Dark says, I don't like being a henchman because they all end up dying.
Well, I mean, he's generally the one that kills them. With his magic space powers. Not space, really, but...
Magic is only magic to people that can't stand technology of the future, Chris.
Thank you, Thor. Can I call you Thor-P now?
Thorpe.
Thorpe. Yeah, you're just Thorpe.
Thorpe.
I popped my P real hard on that one.
You have all this stuff going on, and it's pretty great. Although, in the torture, it doesn't look like Rip has been really tortured. I mean, there's no marks on him. He's not, like, burned or scarred anywhere. I mean, I don't think...
It's under the clothes, man. They took his shirt off and beat the crap out of him and then put his shirt back on so he would be presentable when he went to the bank, of course. Come on. That's exactly what happened.
Because they pull out his teeth.
A tooth, yeah. I mean, I've had teeth pulled before. It's no big deal. You just grab it and you pull it. Sometimes you need pliers, but ultimately, they all come out.
Yeah, because ripping part of your skeleton from the other part of your skeleton is just easy.
It's not hard in there. I mean, you got gums. It's easy to do.
Just need some pliers, man. You're good to go.
That's what I just said.
It hurts, though.
That's what the drugs are for.
Yeah, drugs.
Yeah, man. He's from the 70s, man. Come on.
He's a hippie. The hippie.
Poor Phil. Those drugs wore off a long time ago.
I don't know. It depends on how doped up he was when he left.
There's drug flashbacks going on.
He's seeing pretty colors.
It's so cool being in the future. Retinal scan, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, today it's no big deal, but I suppose in the 70s it would have been a huge deal. And talking about the 70s, we have some time travel in this episode, probably the most time travel that we've had in a while. We weren't stuck in just one era the entire episode. So we go back to when Malcolm was recruited, right, Michelle?
Oh, gosh, this was great. So you see on television Oliver killing Damien Dark, and then the camera swings over and there's Malcolm Merlyn in, let's just say this apartment is not the lap of luxury. It is obviously a little run down and he's drinking, and all of a sudden here comes Thawn and Dark, and Malcolm's just like, who are you? Didn't you just die? Sort of deal. That was great.
But he's a League of Assassin guy. He's seen people come to life again all the time.
He's resurrected people before.
Yeah.
And he's the magician. So I'm sure he could have thought it could have been somebody in a bodysuit with a mask on, Scooby-Doo style. It could have been anything. So I don't think he was as razzed as a normal human being might have been at that time.
Oh, no. He was all cool about it. He was just like, who are you?
And in the end, he gets taken out by a landmine.
Allegedly, we have not seen the body.
Well, it could be multiple landmines when the entire island blows up.
He could have gotten off the island before that.
That's true.
I mean, if I'm going to fake my death, I'm not going to stick around.
Look, maybe a different version of Eobard came back and saved him right before, because there's another version of Eobard out there that needed his help.
Could be.
Oh, my brain hurts.
Oh, gosh.
That sharp pain in your head, that's time travel, guys.
Talking about time travel, we also get a Zurich bank in 2025. Curiously enough, we don't really see much of 2025. We just see the bank.
And its cool retinal scanner.
And touchpad and voice recognition, which all kind of exists today.
Well, yes, but not as cool and not as integrated as it is now.
Do you mean if I go to my bank right now into my safety deposit box, I won't have to show my eye into the retinal scan and say my secret password?
Right.
The secret password is cheese.
Okay, so everybody knows what Chris's secret password is. Now we can just cut out his eye and go to his bank and we're all set.
That sounds uncomfortable.
First, Chris can... Oh, never mind. I was recording. So we've got you saying cheese. So we're all good.
We are good.
Maybe that's only part of it, though.
So, Chris, why don't you save yourself and go to 2017 and talk about what's going on in Central City between Stein, Jax, and Lily?
Stein needs the help of an expert to help them get the artifact to work. So what better expert than his time aberration of a daughter and having to pull her into things and then have everyone figure it out?
Abrasion? It's abrasion, right?
Abrasion, yes.
Mick. Love it.
I love Mick. But, yeah. She's the super brain. She's a super smart Stein and is able to figure it out. And I don't know. There's got to be a part of Stein that's going, is this really a good idea for me to go and pull her into all of this when, gee, if everyone realizes she's an aberration, it's a problem.
He just decides to do it on his own, too. He doesn't consult Sarah, who knows about the aberration. And you get everybody else on the ship knowing about Lily. And then... Well, fast forward, at the end, Lily says goodbye to her dad, which was a little awkward, and I hope we get to see her again. I know things kind of get messed up with the rest of the season, but I think Lily needs to come back and save everybody.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I'm completely on board with that. The scenes between her and Stein were just, you know, there at the end. Because Jax is like, you got to tell her how you feel. Because he's like, I know how you feel because we have that psychic bond and stuff. But you need to step up and tell her how you feel. And, you know, him coming to realize that, because he says time doesn't give you what you want, but gives you what you need. And he's like, I didn't realize I needed a daughter. And I thought that was sweet.
It was a good moment.
The whole thing is sweet with Stein having a daughter, and I enjoy having Lily around, and I really would like to see her again. But I'm going back to Stein and how he acted about this whole thing. He should have clued Sarah in, and he didn't. So I'm faulting Stein all across the board for making this happen in the first place and then bringing her in without successfully coordinating it, I guess.
And, well, first off, he missed her. But second, because one of the things he is afraid of is them going back to fix the aberration, which would erase her. So now she was integral in getting rid of the Dominators. And now she was integral in figuring out the artifact and how to hook up the thing to the thing to read the thing. So now she's integral in two events. And so fixing the aberration would cause more aberrations because she was involved in what they do.
And that, kids, is my brain breaking again as time travel gets super complex.
It does. Barry could have unleashed the entire DC universe to collapse in on itself to make Stein have a kid and the kid crash everything. It's all Barry's fault. I'm going to blame Barry.
Damn it, Barry.
Even Rip shooting General George Washington, I'm blaming Barry for that.
Well, sure, why not?
Yeah. Thanks, Barry.
So that's what we get at the end. We get Rip as a deranged Captain Hunter, as reprogrammed by Eobard Thawne in 1776, shooting Christmas Day, by the way, shooting General George Washington. So
we've all watched past this point, obviously, but I remember when this first aired and Rip Hunter shows up and shooting General Washington, there was a part of me went, this could be really fun to have evil Rip Hunter.
Yes.
Could have been. Well, we'll see if it is or not, but
we'll see how it progresses. I was just trying to put myself back in that mindset of me who watched this back in January or whatnot when this first aired and being like, oh, I can't believe they did that. This is going to be so much fun. And for being Arthur Darvill, you're probably sitting there going, well, I got to be Rip, and then I got to be crazy hippie Rip. Now I get to be evil Rip. I'm kind of getting to flex my muscle a little bit this season.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like the Tom Cavanaugh.
HR!
Yeah. The Wells, that was technically Eobard, and then Harry, and then HR. I mean, there you go.
This show's good about giving people a chance to play a different character multiple ways, it seems like, for a lot of folks.
Yeah, even Laurel.
Who?
Wrong show.
Well, it's the universe, right? It doesn't necessarily mean just the show. And who knows? Laurel's going to come on to the show at some point. You're going to see her on Legends of Tomorrow. It's going to happen.
Yay.
Oh, that's right. Black Siren versus White Canary.
I'll be in my bunk.
Talking about being in your bunk, Sarah Lance, she captaining a strange ship this time around. Not a lot of captaining going on, but a lot of slapping up her shipmates.
There's not really a lot of legends going on this time around. I kind of enjoyed the focus on the Legion of Doom this time around.
Yeah, because they're sitting around trying to figure out who the speedster is.
They're the B plot this week, is the legends.
Yeah, so Ray's helping Lily connect the medallion to the ship and almost erasing Gideon, so whew, thank gosh they didn't do that, but
you can't truly kill an artificial being's SP.
I don't know. Do you artificial intelligences have souls?
She's got a backup, I'm sure. I mean, hell, my computer's backed up to the cloud once a week. I'm sure they back up Gideon once in a while.
To what?
To the super cloud.
The time stream cloud.
The time cloud. It's made by Apple. It costs four times more than it should, but when it works, it works okay.
It works okay. Mick is projected to be the one that tells Lily she's an abscess. I don't think that's one of the words he used. Aberration. And yeah, he does it.
So I have a thought for you guys on that one. Oh, go ahead, Michelle. Sorry.
No, you go. Because I wonder if it's the same thought.
I wonder if we're having the same thought. So remember, Mick's been involved in all sorts of time travel adventures as Kronos. He worked for the Time Council, things like that. Does anyone else think he let it slip on purpose? Because with all of his knowledge of that and being Kronos, he knows kind of the danger of aberrations. And he's part of him's kind of like, no, we don't keep this quiet. We either need to find a way to solve it or make sure that she at least knows what she is.
Agreed. And I think it's that. And I also think it was a little bit of spite because everyone assumed that it was him because they're still insulting him. And, you know, he is more than a meathead. We've been talking about this for a bit. So I think it's part of that and part of like, fine, you think I'm going to be the one to spill the beans? Then you know what? I'm going to say fake food for a fake person.
And then she figures it out. So she figures that out, but she doesn't accept the fact that her dad is part of Firestorm.
It sounds inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, I kind of was a little bit, because she was part of the Dominator storyline. So she probably would have seen Firestorm. But, and also it's kind of like one of those things, like all the time I hear celebrities who have kids and they're like, hey, I'm the superhero. And the kid's like, yeah, fine. Spider-Man's my favorite anyway. So, like, whatever, Dad. And I think that's part of it, too. It's like, fine, Dad. You think you're a cool superhero. Uh-huh. Whatever.
That's fair.
I'm not a cool superhero. I'm the Thorpe. That's what I am.
Thorpe.
And Nate kind of figures out what's going on a little bit. And that it's a speedster running from non-existence. Didn't know exactly which one it was. But he figures that out. So, he's got the historian brain going on. And then Vixen, this was a really low-key episode for all of them because it was B story, but Vixen, I don't remember anything that she did in the episode.
She asked some questions, and she was like, we have to identify the speedster. That's what we must do. That was her role in this week's episode. And it's interesting that Stein remembers. I'm really glad writers remembered that, hey, Stein actually originates from the Flash. He's not from the Arrow part. Like Ray and Sarah are from Arrow, but Stein, you know, he's from The Flash. So I'm really glad he remembered about Thawne.
He did. And he took some liberties of explaining it because it made everybody's head hurt on the show as much as it did for us. So he had that going for him or against him, if you will. Rip, I think, got the fun to play Phil and it was good to see him try to escape. Because Phil is timid. Phil is the director, the producer that's not got a lot of courage to him. But he does try to escape. So, you know, I'll give him that. And then, of course, he kills General Washington. I mean, how many people can say they killed General Washington?
Death and Captain Hunter now.
Right. So Gideon makes some champagne, synthetic food for a synthetic person. We talked about that before with Mick. Did anybody catch the name on the bottle of champagne?
Guggenheim,
that's right. Did you catch the year of the bottle, Chris?
1998.
All right. So Mark Guggenheim did something great in 1998, right?
Maybe.
Sure. He had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
He probably did have a PB&J in 1998 because 1998 has really nothing to do, at least for comics or TV that we know for Mark Guggenheim. But Greg Berlanti actually wrote his first TV episode in 1998. It was Dawson's Creek. So that is the relation of 1998 to the bottle of champagne. At least that's what I'm calling it. SP or the Thorpe is right. So there you go.
Headcanon accepted.
Right, you guys liking this Legion of Doom? I kind of liking this Legion of Doom because they're just acting together deliciously. I'm enjoying it, especially the time in the vault.
It's so much fun.
And those two, Neil and John Barrowman, they really just played well off of each other. And it was just so cool just to see them bicker. They're almost like the Legion of Bickering.
The one thing I had against the whole thing is when Damian first threatens Malcolm, Malcolm's got the knife behind his back, which we don't see until Damian walks away. But then the camera pans down to the knife and it's shaking. I don't think Malcolm would have been shaking with the knife behind his back.
I think he was gripping it kind of tightly.
Maybe, but I don't think he'd be shaking. I think he'd be steady.
Was he holding it in a right hand or left hand? I can't remember.
His right hand.
That's the robot hand.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or is it the left hand that's the robot hand? Oh, crap.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
He's got a broken servo. I don't know.
He's got a broken servo in his head.
Well, yeah.
But I like how they trap Thawne. And Thawne is like freaking out because we finally see what he's been running from.
Yes, we do. And it's not a time wraith. It's something different.
Something else.
Mm-hmm. Do we ever find out exactly what this is? Or is it the predecessor? Is it Eddie?
No, it's Zoom, right?
It's Zoom.
Becoming the Black Flash, right? That's what he's called.
He's the Black Racer now.
And he's not looking too good.
His face is all jacked up. Because remember, we saw in the Flash finale of the season before last, part of his face got ripped away, similar to what you see with the Black Racer here.
Yes, he did. So anything else about the Legion of Doom that you want to bring forward, Michelle?
I really thought it was interesting how Malcolm is like, we got to be subtle. We need to just go in and Rip just needs to fake it. And then Damien's like, let's just go in and slaughter everybody. It'll get the job done. And they end up having to go with Damien's. Let's just go kill everybody.
A blunt instrument sometimes works best.
And it's more fun, apparently.
Evidently.
Malcolm actually said, I missed this. Because this is the Malcolm that's with Thea, had to go through, you know, being with Thea and stuff like that. And he's like, gosh, yeah, I have missed being the magician. He actually says, I was the magician.
He was.
He's going to make this hand disappear.
Mm-hmm. And reappear, apparently, too.
Yeah, evidently.
So there's more to be seen from these guys in the future. And we're going to see where this goes. This is episode 10. We've got 17 episodes. So we got 7 episodes left of the season, which we'll be running down for the rest of the summer. And I'm excited to rewatch those 7 episodes because it's fun watching these again, kind of knowing what happens, but at the same time, just going along for the ride too. So it's fun. You guys got any last thoughts, Chris?
I love the Legion of Doom. I love the interplay between Malcolm and Damien. There's just some great moments where you chuckle on screen. You're like, man, these guys are really good paired opposite each other. So I'm looking forward to, and back at the time, I was looking forward to seeing how that partnership progresses.
Michelle, last thoughts.
You know, like we keep saying, I have to like dismiss a lot of stuff when it comes to the continuing of this and just basically go, I'm enjoying them right here, right now. And I'm just going with it. That's one of the things about this show. You just kick back, grab your popcorn, and enjoy the ride.
And that's what Legends of Tomorrow is all about. Get your popcorn ready, kids. All right. What do we got going on for next episode, Michelle?
So the next episode we are going to discuss is Turncoat. It's season 2, episode 11. It originally aired February 7th, 2017. The legends travel to the winter of 1776 to protect George Washington during the American Revolution, but Sarah is forced to send out Nate and Amaya when things don't go as planned. Director Alice Troughton, writers Grain Godfrey and Matthew Mala.
Looking forward to Turncoat. And with that, we're going to go back to the newsroom. Love our newsroom here in Starling City, the chief newsroom, the award-winning newsroom of all of Earth 2. So, Chris, we have some news from the spoiler room.
That's right. So, Entertainment Weekly has their spoiler room bit that they run from time to time. And during the latest spoiler room, they asked Mark Guggenheim, do you know who survives the explosions on Arrow? Here's why this is important. We've even made some rough theories like this before as we've got some of these big names. You're probably not going to kill them off, right? I mean, they've been billed as being on the show next season, being promoted from part-time to series regulars. They've got to be safe, right? Well, Mark Guggenheim cautions us not to feel safe in the assumptions that most of the core characters will definitely survive because they're expected to return next season. He says, quote, I know everyone is trying to determine who survives, who dies, what is the result of the cliffhanger based upon people's contractual status. And I would like to say it's not necessarily a good idea. The example I would point to is that was not true in The Walking Dead. They had a season finale similar, where you had a group of characters, all of whom were series regulars, in a dire situation at the end of the season. Just because they were series regulars did not mean that everyone came out of that cliffhanger alive.
They're ready to slash and burn.
That's how you cut costs, right?
I think they have to because of the ratings. So I wouldn't be surprised if we lost one of three main actors. But yeah, you have to be careful about which ones you get rid of, because we've seen what has happened already. And I don't think they have much of an audience left to lose. So yeah, they got to pander to some of the audience. That's my two cents. So Michelle, we do have some news on a Arrow alum joining another show.
Yes, Colton Haynes is joining American Horror Story. I put this in part of news because a lot of us keep speculating, when's Roy coming back? When Roy's coming back? Well, not anytime soon, unless he can figure out how to juggle everything. Like he was on Scream Queens, the latest season of that. And so now he's moving on to American Horror Story. So it doesn't look like Roy is coming back anytime soon.
Aww. Bummer. Love to see Arsenal back. Guess we're just not going to get him back. But something that we might get is not just a canary, but a Black Canary memorial in season 6.
Right. So remember, we had the Black Canary memorial scene in the piece above mirrors, and a similar scene in the opening of season 5. Last year, Guggenheim unveiled artwork of a bronze statue of Laurel in costume. It appeared in the first half of season 5 until Black Siren destroyed it with her sonic scream. The Black Canary memorial scene in the piece above, which you can find in a link over on CBR.com, mirrors a similar scene from the opening of season 5. And don't forget, last time, same similar artwork appeared, and we saw a Laurel in statue form. So maybe we're getting a Black Canary memorial of some kind. We shall see.
Maybe it will be destroyed again as well. So, hey, the whole season's up for grabs right now. We can speculate for anything else, make our headcanon strong, but when the episodes air, we will get what we get. So moving on into general DC news, we have some information on season 3 of Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes, the Legends of Tomorrow will find themselves facing off against Rip Hunter and his new Time Bureau once again next season, but it will be very different from what we saw last year. In season 2, Rip was turned evil, Mark Guggenheim says. This is not evil Rip. We are not making Rip a bad guy or that kind of villain. Rather, this Rip is the Ronnie Cox in Beverly Hills Cop to our Eddie Murphy. He's the guy who's trying to do things the proper way, follow the rules, get things done with a certain level of efficiency. And here comes our legends, who goes about their things in a bit of an unorthodox manner.
Poor Ronnie Cox. I liked Ronnie Cox in Beverly Hills Cop, and I liked him actually in Star Trek The Next Generation. And I know a lot of people didn't, but I did. So
wasn't he in Stargate also?
Oh, I think so. I'll have to look that up. It's not ringing a bell, but I wouldn't be surprised. Did he come in as a leadership role?
He was part of the IOC, I thought. And
ooh.
Or he was a senator on Earth. I can't remember.
Might not have been such a great guy then. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't think he was in Stargate.
We'll see. I will definitely look that up, though. Ronnie Cox is one of my...
The character, not the actor, we mean.
Yes.
Just for clarification's sake.
Ronnie Cox is great. And I believe he passed away a couple years ago.
You could be right. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up as well. And if you're not, I apologize, Ronnie. And we would love to see you on the screen again, if possible. Hey, if you liked all this geeky content that we talked about, the Legends of Tomorrow episode, all the news and notes, we have a bunch of other shows on the GonnaGeek.com network that do very similar things in terms of the different corners of geekdom, don't we, Chris?
SP's right. We've got a lot of different shows in the GonnaGeek network. Regardless of your taste, we probably have something to fit in. We've been adding new shows left and right. I think we just added another 3 in the last month or so. And each week on this show and many of the other shows in the network, we all try to highlight one specific episode to point you guys towards. And this week, I want to point you guys towards the latest episode of the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast, episode 266, entitled Salty Willie. Poor Willie, one of our hosts, got a little salty about something, and we called him on it. But the full crew is back this week for a wacky weekend morning show. Naki has the news that Ron Howard is now directing the next Star Wars solo flick. Chris is geeking out over the early buzz on Spider-Man Homecoming. Willie is still playing Friday the 13th, and Anthony is about the only one excited about the new Saw movies coming up. That's on episode 266 of the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast, which you can find over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Well, guys, a big thank you to everyone who listened and watched live as we recorded this over on Geeks.live, and also to anyone who downloads or replays the video or audio versions of the podcast. Don't forget you can find those on GunnaGeek.com, Spreaker, YouTube, pretty much just Google Starling Tribune if all else fails, and you can find us.
That's right. Hey, we've moved our live recording to Sundays now in preparation for the fall TV schedule, where Arrow will be on Thursday nights. We're not going to record Friday night or Saturday, but we'll record Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Geeks.live. And don't forget to run on over to your podcatcher of choice. Give us a thumbs up or a 5-star review and write us a good review. That would be great. We'll read it on the show. So thank you very much to the audience, and thank you very much to the production team behind the show.
You can find all of our contact information on the Gunna Geek Network at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. We can check out our forums and other shows. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Great episode, guys. That wraps it up for another week. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag Dad is Firestorm.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag Thorpe.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag Gideon is forever. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.